You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
We're so glad that you're here with us on Easter morning. What a great time. You know, there's traditions that surround Easter. There's kind of one of the Easter new clothes tradition of I'm going to wear something new, or I'm going to wear something real Eastery to be able to have there. There's the tradition of dyeing eggs. That's a lot of fun to get the eggs dyed. And then there's the tradition of hiding those eggs all different places and of Easter baskets. We do in our family when our kids were younger, resurrection eggs to tell the story of Easter, of all that's taking place. Then it's developed into other traditions that are a little bit more silly for us. We do an egg toss later today, where we get egg all over ourselves, it seems like, and whoever the winner is then gets to crack eggs on people's heads, which is a lot of fun. It makes a lot of fun. We also do confetti eggs we've got going on in our family that are a lot of fun to be able to do. So we're making a mess. One of the things that we do as well in the backyard, I don't know how this relates with the resurrection of Christ, but we got silly string and we have a silly string fight is what we do. And so we just go at it. So I want you to see a picture of my mom last year from the silly string. So there she is. So we have no respect for senior adults in our house at all. We just let them have it, but she's a good-natured person, which is great. So active parenting, or grandparenting, I should say, is what that's about. So it's been a lot of fun with all of those things. But one of the best things about Easter traditions is Easter candy. My favorite is robin eggs. We got any other robin eggs fans in the house? Everybody likes robin eggs. That's great. Yeah, awesome with the robin eggs. Then you've got the good old traditional chocolate bunny, the hollow chocolate bunny. One of the greatest disappointments to kids around, right? You think you got a solid chocolate bunny and you end up with a hollow chocolate bunny. The dentists like it, but the kids are like, this is kind of a ripoff, you know, but we got the chocolate bunny. And then, you know, there's Peeps. Peeps are kind of controversial. You either love them or you hate them. They're either awesome or they're gross. Well, I found this year something new, and maybe it was just new to me, but it's a Peeps Pop is what it is, okay? So it's like a lollipop of Peeps, these marshmallow covered in glitter sugar type thing. And so when you read on the back, it says about the Peeps Pops, best eaten before Easter 2050, okay, is what it is. And so here we've got the Peeps Pops. I'll let you decide if that's awesome or if that's gross, but all of these candies and all of these traditions are about kind of spring colors, about new things coming to life. They're really about three words. They're about life, they're about discovery, and they're about joy. Life, that this new thing that we've got, this new clothes that we're gonna wear, this new look for the Easter eggs. Discovery, let's go and find them around and see if we can discover them. And then joy, to be able to go, wow, well, that was fun. Well, this was exciting. That was great. Easter is about life, discovery, and joy. I want you to say those three words with me. Ready? Count of three. One, two, three. Life, discovery, and joy. One more time. Life, discovery, and joy. We're going to see that in the scripture in Luke chapter 24. If you got your Bible, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 24 and to see in this passage of scripture, they're going to discover life, that Jesus is alive. They're going to have a discovery when they run to the tomb and see that it's empty. And they're going to find joy that Christ is alive and can change their life. So let's look into Luke chapter 24 of life, discovery, and joy. Here's what it says. In the first verse of scripture, this is a key verse. We're going to read verses 1-3, then I'm going to tell you about 4-8, then we're going to jump back in to verse 9. Look at chapter 24, verse 1-3. Here's what it says. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, don't forget that, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices that they had prepared. That was how they would embalm the body in those days. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. It was about 1.5 to 2 tons of a stone. So the angels had rolled it away. These ladies couldn't have done it. Verse 3, they went in but did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Now here's what these ladies did. They ran to the tomb. When did they get there? In the first verse, they ran to the tomb on the first day of the week, first thing in the morning. very early in the morning on the first day of the week. Here's what I want you to know about Easter. Jesus changes our priorities. Jesus changes our priorities. These ladies had a lot of other things they could be doing at this moment, but on the first day of the week, first thing in the morning, early in the morning, they took off and ran to the tomb because they had heard, they knew about the crucifixion. They had seen that, but they had heard Jesus talking about the resurrection. So they took off running, and their number one priority was to see if Jesus Christ has risen from the grave. Jesus changes our priorities. C.S. Lewis puts it like this: put first things first and you'll get second things thrown in. Put second things first and you'll lose both of them. Hear that again. Put first things first and you'll get second things thrown in. Put second things first and you'll lose both of them. Jesus put it like this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek first God's kingdom and righteousness, and then all of these things shall be added unto you. In the Old Testament, in Psalm chapter 5, verse 3, it says, early in the morning I sought the Lord and I wait in expectation. So Jesus Christ changes our priorities. He wants to be the first thing we think about in the day, the last thing we think about in the day, and what we think about throughout the day. He wants to guide our beginning. He wants to guide our end. He wants to guide our middle. Jesus changes all of our priorities. Think of how our priorities have been changed over the last year. How many times have you done this? You get out of your car and you take about 5 steps and go, oh, I forgot my mask, and you start walking back, right? How many times have you had somebody go, nice to meet you, and you're like, give me some Purell. I need Purell right now. I gotta have it. Our priorities change the way we interact, the way we are, all of these different things. They changed our priorities in many ways, COVID did, but Jesus wants to change the priorities of our hearts. He wants to change the priority of our hearts. He wants to be number one in your life and number one in my life as well. And here's the deal. If we'll prioritize Christ, it'll go a whole lot better for our marriages, our families, our vocation, our walk with God, our church, our peace, our joy, our hope. But if we don't prioritize Christ, what will happen is this happens to every human being. Here's what happens. If we don't prioritize Christ, we will prioritize ourselves. And I'll become number one in my life, and you'll become number one in your life. And it does not go well for your marriage if you're number one. It doesn't go well for your parenting if you're number one. It doesn't go well for your vocation if you're number one. Put second things first and lose all of them. But if we put Christ first in our life and put first things first, we gain both of them and then all of them. So God wants to be the number one. We tend to prioritize ourselves. But when Jesus is the priority, we find where we really fit into the mix. Now let's take an old recipe. We wouldn't have this recipe written in this way, or probably this recipe in the same way at all. But let's go back to the 1800s, a recipe for rabbit soup. The first thing that it says on the recipe for rabbit soup is first catch the rabbit. What is that? It's the priority. First catch the rabbit. How do you live life? Put Jesus Christ first, and then let everything else fall underneath that as it needs to be. Now, we want to help you to put Jesus Christ first. If you'll take your listening guide, putting Christ first, we all want to read our Bibles first thing in the morning, but we grab our phones. We all want to pray first thing in the morning, but we watch the news. We all want to get things done first thing in the morning with the Lord and let him really minister our heart, but we grab that cup of coffee and head out to our workplace or our school. But right here at the bottom, we've got a QR code for you on the bottom of your listening guide. You can do it right now. Online family, we put it onto the screen, so you can walk right up to your screen of your Apple TV or however you're watching it, and be able to watch there from YouTube and Facebook and all of that, and to be able to just put that on there. And what it will do, it will send you to a menu of daily devotional reading plans. And what they are is they're broken up into groups of days, a 5-day plan, a 7-day plan, a 3-day plan. And you can even hit a reminder that will remind you on your phone so that you'll spend time with God first thing in the morning on the first day of the week, tomorrow on Monday morning. And you'll be able to have a step of putting God first. Now, this is really neat. What we've done here is we've taken my messages and put them into devotional thoughts, some of the things that I've written in books, and put them into devotional thoughts. And if you just scan that, it will give you a list. You can choose whatever subject you want and be able to just get on that reading plan and be able to do that. Here's what's neat. Here's what's really incredible. Do you know that we have had, God has really used this, we have over 1 million subscribers to these plans. They're on the YouVersion of the Bible app, the YouVersion Bible app that you probably already have on your phone. It's a little brown icon with a cross on it of the YouVersion Bible app. We've had over 1 million subscribers to it, and over 4 million days have been completed. So you can jump in and just be able to let that be a way of putting God first. If you don't like that, just read the book of Luke. Start it tomorrow with chapter 1 and just start reading along. Put God first in your life, and you'll see that then everything else falls into place. Now, verses 4-8, these ladies run to the tomb. They see two angels. The stone is rolled away. The angels are in dazzling clothes. They say to them, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here. Jesus Christ, he is risen," is what we say, right? And so that's right there in that verses of scripture. And then look at verse 9. It says about the ladies returning from the tomb, they reported these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now, ladies, you should put in the margin right there, girl power with a fist bump. Who went to the tomb first? Ladies went to the tomb first. Who's declaring the resurrection? Ladies are declaring the resurrection. That is a huge statement of Jesus's and God's value of women, particularly in this time, 2,000 plus years ago. It's a huge statement. Don't miss it. And so girl power, here they are with a fist bump. They're coming back and declaring and saying, here we are, and we have seen it for ourselves. Jesus is not there. They reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. As it goes on, it says this, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary mother of James, and all the other women with them were telling the apostles of these things. But these words seemed like nonsense to them, and they did not believe the women. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb, and he stooped to look in, and he saw only the linen cloths lying there, so he went away, amazed at what had happened. Here's what happens, and this is what should happen on Easter. When we put Jesus Christ first, the next thing that should happen in our life is our faith brings action. Our faith brings action. James puts it like this, faith without works is dead. Now, we're saved by faith, no question about it. That's how we receive Jesus Christ as Savior. But then we walk out our faith in works. Doesn't it bug you when you see the hypocrisy of someone to say, oh, I've got this faith, and then you see nothing behind it of action? There's something so amazing when we see faith and action coming together. We don't just say, go and be well fed. We give them food as well. There's faith with action that takes place in our life. That's when the rubber meets the road. That's when it really makes a difference. Now, at our church, we want to be faith with action. We love to help people at Houston's First. We love to help people. We love to help people that are grieving. We love to help people that are celebrating. We love to help people through counseling. We have an amazing Juliana Poor Counseling Center at our church that helps thousands of people every year. We love to help people in hurricanes that need help with their homes. We love to help people that are out all over the world in missions. We love to help you. I hope right now I'm helping you grow in your biblical knowledge and your spiritual depth. I hope that that's happening. I hope that the worship puts your heart in a way of seeing that God is great and mighty and grand, and you can sing to a God that loves you. I hope that you're helped even in this very moment. We love to help people. We want our faith at our church to turn into action. So in our love for helping people, we do this every year. We call it the World Mission Offering, and we just did it last year. Here's what we do. If you're a guest, I just want you to hear what we do. Once a year, we set a Sunday aside, and all of us give a financial resources to help people outside our church. Not people inside our church, people outside our church. And last week, we had the goal of raising $1.4 million, okay? That's a big goal in the midst of pandemic and COVID and blah, 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 all that stuff. To be able to go for it, we're $1.4 million. And here we are now. I get the joy of telling you we did not raise $1.4 million. We raised $2,407,398. Is that incredible? Yes. We raised more than $1 million more than what our goal was, because we love when faith becomes action. Even when I said the number, you just applauded. because faith became action. Now, here's a couple other things that I love. We had about 2,500 plus giving family units. That could be a single adult. That could be a family of four. So that's a lot more than just that many people, but a lot of people involved in it. We had about 400 brand new givers that had never given to our church in a way that we would know that they had given, which is awesome. That takes faith to put into action, which is great. Here's what I really love. We had kids giving at one of our campuses. We had preschoolers. The preschoolers gave $1,061.62, and about 300 of it was in pennies, nickels, dimes, and quarters. Let me show you the picture. Isn't that great? To just personalize it, these two three-year-old boys, each raised over $100 each in coins. Can you imagine those little cutie pies going, can I have your change? Can I have your change? Can I have your change? Can I have, what's it for? I'll just give it to you. You look so cute. Just to be able to have it. And they raised over $100 a piece as three-year-olds. Man, that blesses my heart. To see faith into action at 3 years old, that's incredible to see what God is doing. And we'll probably end up having even more money coming in to be able to change the world, which is just absolutely great. Praise the Lord for faith into action. Now, there's two groups of people in this scripture that I want to show you. And I want to ask you, which one are you? Which one are you? Are we putting our faith into action? Look at the first group. It's in verse 11. But these words seemed like nonsense to them, and they did not believe the women about the resurrection. That's group one. These words seem like nonsense to them. Group one, many think the resurrection is nonsense. Do you? Do you think the resurrection is nonsense? If you are, you're in a minority. In America, over two-thirds of America believes that Jesus rose again from the grave. Now, I don't know that two-thirds of America has put their faith into action, or we probably wouldn't be in some of the messes we're in, right? But to be able to at least have the belief as a starting point, that's good. So do you believe in the resurrection? Or do you believe that it's nonsense? Because when they believe that it's nonsense, they did not believe. Did you see the connection? They believed the resurrection was nonsense, so they did not believe. Do you believe it's nonsense, or do you believe it's true? Well, if you believe it's nonsense, I want you to hear with the biggest smile on my face, I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you're here that you said, well, I'll go to church. I'll go on Easter Sunday. I don't believe the resurrection is even real, but I'm going to show up and hear some songs about it and hear a message about it, gather with some people that believe it. I'm going to go for it on that way. That'll be a great thing. But the resurrection is not nonsense. And let me ask you this question. If you believe it, let's go back a little bit further, because you might believe it because you, watched a documentary somewhere on TV, and watching that documentary, you're like, oh, I believe it's nonsense. Or you heard something along the way, you believe it's nonsense, whatever it is. But let me show you what the people that were actually there believed. Actually there. The disciples, what did they actually believe? What was their thought about this in believing? Well, it says in the scriptures, Paul tells us that Jesus appeared to 500 people over 40 days. Hallucinations don't happen in groups. Maybe unless you're at Woodstock, okay? But besides that, that's a different thing. Hallucinations don't happen in groups. He appeared to 500 different people over 40 days, which was absolutely incredible. But how did the ones right there, these disciples, how did they respond? They died martyrs' deaths, is what history and tradition tells us. Did they die for a lie? Did they know that it was nonsense and die for a lie? Or were they there and believed that it was true? Listen to how the disciples died according to tradition and history. Matthew was slain with a sword in Ethiopia. Mark died in Alexandria after being dragged through the streets of the city. Luke was hung on an olive tree in Greece. John was put into a cauldron of boiling oil, but escaped death in a miraculous way and afterwards was banished to the island of Patmos and wrote the book of Revelation that we're studying right now. Peter and Paul, it's thought, were killed by Nero on the same day. Can you imagine if you're a believer in Rome and Peter and Paul are killed on the same day in Rome? What that would do to you and your faith? Peter was crucified upside down in Rome with his head facing downward because he said, I cannot be crucified in the same way that my Savior was crucified. Paul, after torture and persecutions, was beheaded in Rome by the Emperor Nero. I've been to the place where he's been said to be beheaded. They died for this belief in the resurrection. James the Greater was beheaded in Jerusalem. James the Less was thrown off the pinnacle of the temple and then beaten with a club when he hit the ground. Bartholomew was flayed alive. Andrew was bound to a cross. The cross was in the shape of the X. That's why it's called to this day Andrew's Cross and is a part of the Scotland flag of Andrew's Cross. He was crucified on an X of a cross. Thomas was run through his body with a lance in the East Indies. Doubting Thomas died believing Thomas with a lance run through him in the East Indies. Jude was shot with arrows and killed. Matthias was stoned to death and then beheaded. He was stoned, then beheaded. Barnabas, the encourager, was stoned to death. These men died for what they knew was a fact. They did not believe that it was nonsense. And you go back to those eyewitnesses and they say, oh, no, no, no. I saw the cross, I saw the tomb, and I saw the resurrected Christ out of the empty tomb. That's better than some biography or some a documentary, I should say, or something you read a little quote along the way or some star you like that doesn't believe in Jesus. These people saw it. And they died for it, every single one of them. Are you in group one? I hope you're not anymore, because it's true. Group two ran to the tomb, run to the tomb for life, discovery, and joy. The ladies ran to the tomb. Peter ran to the tomb. So group two, run to the tomb for life, for discovery that he's not there, for joy in your own life. Are you in group one that thinks it's nonsense, or are you in group two that runs to the tomb? Don't be somewhere in the murky middle. Be in group two and run to the tomb with everything you have in your life. And then Peter, it says in verse 12, it says, be amazed. He was amazed. He ran to the tomb. He looked in. He saw only the linen cloths lying there, and he was amazed. What was he amazed about? Number one, amazed. We can be amazed. Amazed of our eternal resurrection in Jesus Christ. If you trusted in Christ as your Savior, guess what? Ain't no grave gonna hold your body down. God's gonna take you back up. Why? Because you're so amazing? No, you and I are filled with sin because we've trusted Jesus Christ as the forgiveness of our sin, paid the price on the cross of Christ, died for us, buried on our behalf, and rose again so that you and I can rise again. When I die, and one day I will rise again because of Jesus Christ and spend all of eternity in heaven because I place my faith and trust in Jesus. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Have you asked Jesus to forgive your sins? I mean, really, like, I'm sorry, Lord, for my sin. Would you forgive me of my sin and dwell in my heart? I trust you to save my soul. Have you prayed that? Have you trusted Jesus to be your Savior? I'm going to give you an opportunity at the end of the service to do that very thing. Jesus Christ, I am amazed that I will rise again because of my faith in Jesus and spend eternity in heaven. Secondly, let's be amazed of the personal resurrection in our life. Do you know God can resurrect your marriage? God can resurrect your heart. God can resurrect relationships in your life. God can resurrect your vocation. God can resurrect your business. God can resurrect your finances. God can resurrect your joy. Where are you in a winter of the soul that you need Jesus to bring the spring of resurrection? Where are you in the winter of the soul, in the feelings of death, that Jesus can bring resurrection? Be amazed not only of eternal resurrection and the sweet by and by, but in a personal resurrection of what he can do in your life right now today. He can do it. It's amazing. It's incredible. And let me tell you what, it's better than a chocolate bunny. It's better than robin eggs. And it's sure better than a Pete popsicle, I can tell you that. That God can do his work in your life. Listen to this man in the third century. That'd be about the 200s. Here's what he said. He was anticipating death, and he wrote down these last words to a friend. Here's what he wrote. It's a bad world. It's an incredibly bad world. But I have discovered in the midst of it a quiet and holy people who have learned a great secret. They have found joy, which is 1,000 times better than any pleasure of our sinful life. They are despised and persecuted, but they care not. They are the masters of their souls. They have overcome the world. Listen to this last sentence. These people are Christians. Listen to the last. And I have become one of them. I have become one of them. I tell you this, Jesus Christ is great and mighty, and he is alive. The tomb is empty. Yes, he is resurrected, and he wants to be your number one priority. And in him being your number one priority, the rest of life won't be easy, but it'll make better sense because you'll get some second things thrown in. And you and I are to run to the tomb and be amazed that for all of eternity, he could take our soul and take us to heaven, and to be amazed that even on planet Earth, he can resurrect some things that have died in our life and some things that are hurting our hearts and our souls and bring us to life, discovery, and joy. Let's say those three words one more time together. Ready? Out loud. Count of three. One, two, three. Life, discovery, and joy. One more time. Life, discovery, and joy. They went to the tomb and Jesus was alive. They looked in and discovered that he had risen for their behalf so that they could run through the rest of life. And these guys and gals changed the world because they walked in the life and the resurrection of Jesus. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that you are great and you are mighty. We love you. We ask, God, that you would speak to our hearts, move in our souls, and remind us that you are alive. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, would you just repeat after me, meaning it with your heart and your soul? Jesus, I have sinned before you, and I'm sorry. I place my trust in your death on the cross to be the payment for my sin. I ask you to be my Savior. I trust that your resurrection will take me to heaven when I die. Forgive my sin and save my soul. You are my priority. If you prayed that, meant that, Jesus Christ saved your heart, your soul. If you're a believer in Christ, would you just ask him to bring life to the places of winter in your heart? Would you pray and ask him to give you the strength to make him your priority? Father, we want to find in you life. We want to discover the depths of you, and we want to walk in joy. Life's never easy, Father, but we can walk with you through it. And we thank you for the resurrection and that the tomb is empty. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.